Good morning and welcome to the presence, everyone. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be what?
Glad
in it. Are you ready to rejoice? Are you glad? Thank you for joining us this morning, those in house, those of you watching via live stream or YouTube. We thank you for joining us. Come on, stand on your feet. Let's give the Lord praise this morning because he's good.
Yeah.
hear that again.
Hey, the Son of God is magnified.
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 Oh,
wonderful and glorious.
Jesus. The Son of God. As close as the mention of his name, Jesus, Jesus, he's as close as the mention of his name, Jesus, Jesus. He's as close as the mention of his name. Close as the mention of his name, Jesus. As close as the mention of his name, Jesus, Jesus, he's as close as the mention of his name.
Father, gracious Father God, this morning all we want is you. All we need this morning is you, oh Father. Oh Father, we honor you. We magnify your name. Lift us up, oh God. Yes. We thank you, Father. We thank you, oh God. All we need is you, Father, in the name of Jesus, oh God. Father, I just thank you for this opportunity for us to come together and worship you this morning. Help us to recognize that all we need is you. All we want is you. All that our sources are in you, oh Father. Healing is in you, Father. Provisions are in you, Father. Help us to recognize and honor you this day, oh Lord. Father, I just thank you for allowing us to see another day. Another week, oh Lord, that you've brought us through. You rescued us, Father, when we didn't even know we needed to be rescued, oh Lord. Thank you, oh God. We lift you up. We magnify your name this morning, oh Lord. We come boldly before your throne, Lord, thanking you, giving you honor and praise this morning. Not for what you, just for what you did, but who you are in our lives. Every day, every moment, every hour, you are there for us, Father. We can call on you at any time, Father. Thank you that you hear our prayer. Thank you, Father, that you even hear the prayers of a little child, oh Lord. Thank you, oh God. Thank you. You're worthy to be praised, oh God. Thank you, oh God. Thank you, Father. Thank you for rescuing me. Thank you for healing me. Father, I stand on your word this morning that I am healed in the name of Jesus. Thank you, oh God. Thank you, Father. Father, I just thank you for this opportunity to come before you and serve you, oh God. Bless this congregation, oh Lord, Father, in the name of Jesus. Bless all those who've entered these doors this morning, Father. Let them feel your power, your grace, and your mercy, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus, oh Lord. Let them be edified, lifted up, oh Lord, Father, in the name of Jesus, oh God. And Father, I just ask you you'd be with us in the furtherance of this service, oh Lord. Father, bless the workers, the ushers and the greeters, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask a wave of your spirit upon this community, upon the community of Tulsa and the surrounding communities, oh Lord. Keep us, oh Lord, in your faith, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus, as we walk each day, Father. Let us be a witness to into the world for you, oh God, in the name of Jesus, oh God. And Father, I just ask for the furtherance of this service, oh Lord, be with us. Oh, Father, touch our pastor, oh Lord, anoint him. Let the word that's come forth be food for our souls, Father. Let us leave changed, oh Lord. Let us leave talking about you, oh Lord. Let us leave that we may be a light into the world and a lamp into your feet. Father, we give you praise, honor, and glory. We lift you up and we magnify your name because we know there is none other than you, oh Lord, that we can call on. Thank you, oh God. We give you praise, honor, and glory today, Father, in thy Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Come on, let's give God a good hand clap this morning. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord? God is good. Amen. Come on, let's do our affirmation prayer. Everyone together. Father, I thank you that as I delight myself in you, you will give me the desires of my heart, because you are a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. I will not lose heart or give up, because I can do all things through you who strengthens me. And I will reap in my due season if I do not get weary in doing good. Father, I decree according to 3 John 2 that in every area of my life I am prospering and I am in good health, even as my soul prospers. I am free from pain, sickness, and disease, and I walk in divine health. Therefore now let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant, that it may continue forever before thee. For thou, O Lord God, hast spoken it, and with thy blessing let the house of thy servant be blessed forever. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Hallelujah. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. God is so good. We want to take this time just to acknowledge our first-time guests. If this is your first time here at the presence, can you just wave your hand? We have one here and, oh, three in the back. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We are so honored that you have decided to join us today at the presence. On behalf of Pastor Alvin and myself, we say welcome to the presence. We want to greet our online audience, those of you viewing via Facebook or YouTube or the church website. Welcome to the presence. Come on, let's stand and go to someone who you haven't greeted this morning, and especially our guests, and say thank you for being with us today, and it's good to see you. Come on, y'all. Come on. Let's do what we do at the presence. Greet one another.
Brothers and sisters, I want to welcome you back to life. Back to the one that can make your next chapter your best chapter. Hallelujah.
How can it be that you love the most unlovable part of me?
Praise the Lord.
You don't have to turn it down. You don't have to turn it down.
This is the one part of the service that we really like, enjoy. Everybody kind of goes around and says hello to people. Well, welcome to the presence. I know Pastor Sonola, my wife, she introduced or acknowledged our first-time visitors. I got to meet them. This is Jill. This is Jill. Good to have you, Jill. And then back there, Tim and Sharon. Now, listen, before you leave, you got to check out what they got on. They are matching to the T. They look so cute. Look so cute. Thank you all for being here with us here at the Presence. We're just a church that loves God and loves people, and we love the presence of God. We love the Word of God, and so we're excited that God has sent you this morning to kind of hang out with us. And so I want to mention just a couple of things before I go into the Word of the Lord. We had sweetheart. I forgot to do it before. Was that Linda? Oh, that was. Wait. Oh, another first time visitor. I'm sorry. And huh? Alicia. And Alicia, God bless you. Thank you for being here. We had every year we have our board, which is made up of really five couples, including my wife and I. We have a board retreat, and we go and just. And seek the Lord and talk about our budget and all of those things. And you know, we're a blessed church. I said we are a blessed church. And I thank God for just all that He's doing in our congregation. And one of the things that we discussed here at the... Thank you, sweetheart. That's my granddaughter, Hannah. And there's Addie. Hi, Addie. One of the things that we talked about at our board retreat is our our elders and our deacons. We have a roster of elders and deacons here. And so I want to ask, and we'll be sending out emails about this, but I would like to meet with our elders and our deacons next Sunday following church, right after church, all of the elders and deacons. I'd like to meet with you, and we're going to, well, I'll tell you when you come, so come. I don't want to get, yeah, just come on, elders and deacons. But we had a great time. We drove out to Broken Bow and just rented a little cabin there, and just it was just so refreshing, and y'all just, I'm telling you, we are, I know I just said it a minute ago, but we are a blessed church. We have some awesome, awesome people here. Even from, you know, our advisory council, which is Bishop Joseph and Madeline Norfleet, and here locally, Pastor Glenn and Amy Schaefer, and also DeWitt and Kim Jones, and then our board, just a great couple. We have great leaders, and we're so thankful. Pastor Sunil and I, every so often, we'll just look at each other and say, we got people. God sent us people, and it's just so refreshing and such a blessing. We're so honored to serve and thank God for the opportunity. But elders and deacons, don't forget, next Sunday after church, I'd like to meet with you. And I'll do more announcements later. I'm going to give, Rita has been out of town, and Stephanie is doing duty back there, so I'll handle the announcements today. But would you turn in your Bibles to, did I even give you any? come here, Michael. This is my son, Michael. What's up, man? Go give that to Stephanie. Thank you. This kind of shows you sometimes how crazy it gets on a Sunday morning. Turn with me to Luke, the 22nd chapter. Luke, the 22nd chapter. Luke 22, I'm going to read verses. I'm going to read verses 31 and 32. Let me get myself set up here. What did I say? Did you? Yeah. Okay. All right. Lift your Bible up if you have it. Lift your Bible or your phone, whatever you have, and just say this. I will not be destroyed for lack of knowledge. Come on, say it again. I will not be destroyed for lack of knowledge. So, God, Lord, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you that you are speaking in this house. I pray that we would all have ears to hear, including the one speaking. Change us, challenge us, make us better. Help us to shine bright for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke 22, verse 31 and 32. This is Jesus speaking to Simon, who... he would change his name later to Peter. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And you, when once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you. It's an interesting statement. Jesus said, I am praying for you. That your faith may not fail. That your faith may not fail. I want to use as a subject this morning, survival of the faith filled. Survival of the faith filled. Look at somebody and just say it. Survival of the faith filled. Say it like this. It's survival of the faith filled. It's survival. I want to encourage you today. I want to encourage me today to be a faith-filled survivor. We live in a day and time when our faith is being tried and tested like never before. Is there anybody that agrees with that statement right there? everybody is being tried and tested on some level like never before. And Jesus was concerned about Peter's faith. He didn't want Peter to lose his faith. So out of all the things that he could have said to Peter, he said, the enemy, Satan, is trying to sift you, or he's trying to gut you. He's trying to steal your faith. But I have prayed for you. Not that you'd be a great preacher, because you will. Not that you're going to heal the sick, because you're going to do that. But I have prayed that your faith doesn't fail you. That's why he prayed for him, that his faith. Jesus knew that if Peter lost his faith in God, he was done. And can I just say to you that if you lose your faith in God, you're done. When you get cynical, if you ever get cynical in your faith and just say, you know, what's the use, that kind of mindset, you're done. The enemy's got you. So it really is survival of the faith filled. How many would say, you know what, I'm filled with faith. I have the faith of God. I have the faith of God. I mean, how many of you? Raise those faith hands. Let me see all those faith. Yeah. And so as faith-filled people, you need to understand that Jesus is just as concerned about you holding on to your faith as he was Peter. The Holy Spirit is positioned to intercede on your behalf so that you do not lose your faith. Psalm 34:19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. We got any righteous people in here? But the Lord delivers him out of them all. I'm going to read that again. Psalm 34:19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. So I have a couple of questions for you. Question number one. How many afflictions does this verse say righteous people will have? Let me ask you. How many afflictions does this verse say righteous people will have? All right, do you still want to be saved? You still want to be accounted among the righteous? Okay, here's question number two. How many afflictions does this verse say God will deliver the righteous out of?
All.
I said, how many afflictions does this verse say that God will deliver the righteous out of?
All.
Thank you, Lord, that you deliver us, even though we have many. Even though we have many, there's not one that he doesn't deliver us out of. Which means every time you get an affliction, which means a challenge, which means an attack, whatever, however that, you know, afflictions can, it's not talking about just physical afflictions. It's talking about trials and tribulations. Every time one of those rears its head, you can just thank the Lord, because you just say, oh, that's just another one that God's going to deliver me out of. That word afflictions, the Hebrew word, I just throw it out just because it's, you know, sometimes the Hebrew or Greek word is kind of interesting. This one, it's ra, afflictions, it's just raw. It means evil, bad, and unpleasant. Many are the evil and bad and unpleasant things. It also means malignant. That word malignant means tending to produce death or deterioration. Many are the situations that would tend to produce death or deterioration. Many are the evil things and the bad things and the unpleasant things. No, God never said that when we gave our light heart to him that everything was going to be easy. Many are the afflictions, but the Lord delivers us out of them all. So that word afflictions means tending to produce death or deterioration. That kind of reminds us of what Jesus said in John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal, to what? Kill. There's the death. Kill and to destroy.
But Jesus said, I came. Now, in our key verse in Luke, it says that I have prayed for you. And in this verse, he says, I came that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Aren't you glad that Jesus came? The enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy your faith. I'm going to say that again. The enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy your faith, to make it dissipate. Really, just to get rid of it. He wants to rid you of your faith in God. But God has come. Aren't you glad that God came? God has come into your situation to preserve your life. Nothing that is happening in your life has stopped God from being God. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that a blessing? Nothing that is happening in your life right now has stopped God or has kicked God off of his throne, removed him off of his throne. Nothing. Nothing has. God is still God. I said, God is still God. Amen. Turn with me to, let's go to Daniel, the third chapter. Daniel, the third chapter. I just want to encourage us this morning and remind us. Sometimes we have to be re-minded. We need to remind ourselves of the goodness of God, of the purpose of God, of the greatness of God. Because 24/7, we're getting signals and pictures and phone calls and texts and all that stuff that is bringing negativity into our life. But the Holy Spirit will help you. Listen, the Holy Spirit will help you to navigate all the negativity. Stick close. I said the Holy Spirit will help you to navigate all of the negativity. Daniel, the third chapter. This is when King Nebuchadnezzar made this big image and everybody was supposed to bow to it when they played the music, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not bow, so the king had to come before the king and answer for why they didn't. And so they basically said, look, we're not bowing to that stuff. We're not bowing. We're not going to compromise, what the enemy is saying. Excuse me, I'm really not centered. I got to be centered. I don't like that. Is that good? Is that better? That better? Oh, it didn't matter to y'all, but it matters to me. Look, those of you who've been around, I got to find my sweet spot. Okay. All right. But the Nebuchadnezzar, they would not bow. All right. So look at Daniel, the third chapter, verse 19. Verse 19. Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with wrath, and his facial expression was altered toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, that's crazy when you're so angry that your face changes. He answered by giving orders to heat the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated. Have you ever felt like the enemy has turned up the heat? Verse 20, he commanded certain valiant warriors who were in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in order to cast them into the furnace of blazing fire. Then these men were tied up in their trousers and their coats, their caps, and their other clothes, and were cast into the midst of the furnace of blazing fire. For this reason, because the king's command was so urgent and the furnace had been made extremely hot, the flame of the fire slew those men who carried up or put Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fire. But these three men, verse 23, these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell into the midst of the furnace of blazing fire, still tied up. Sometimes you feel like you can't do anything. Your hands are tied. You want to do something, but you can't. The enemy has turned up the heat, and you're just sitting in it. And you feel helpless. You'd love to. You wish you could do something, but you can't. Let's read verse 24. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king,
was astounded and stood up in haste. He said to his high officials, "Was it not 3 men we cast bound into the midst of the fire?" They replied to the king, "Certainly, O king." Verse 25, he said, "Well then, look, I see 4 men loosed and walking about in the midst of the fire." Now, let me ask you this. How were the men when they got thrown in the fire? Tied up. They ain't tied up no more. Y'all know what happened? That fourth man, as Nebuchadnezzar said, the fourth looks like the son of God, of the gods. That fourth man untied him. The fourth man will untie you. Listen, you might, I'm not going to say might, you will sometimes have to go into the fire. You will sometimes feel like you're tied up and restrained. But I'm going to tell you, the fourth man, the son of God, who is lifted high, he's going to show up and he's going to show out and he's going to untie you. He's going to set you free and he's going to let you walk in the fire free along with him. Listen, it's okay to be in the fire as long as God is there with you. And he said, "I never leave you nor forsake you." Come on, somebody say survival of the faith filled. You've got to survive it. You've got to survive it. Sometimes you go through those situations. Sometimes you have to go through storms. God told Noah to build an ark because a storm. God told Noah to build an ark because a storm was coming. I could take you there to Genesis, the 6th chapter, but I'm just going to sort of summarize and hit a few points. But he told Noah to build an ark because a storm was coming. And after Noah built the ark, he and his family entered the ark. And after they entered the ark, it rained nonstop for 40 days and 40 nights. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we have seen in the news how just a couple of days of constant rain, whatever you want to, Helene, every day, give it a name, just a few days of just torrential rain floods communities. Can you imagine 40 days and 40 nights of nonstop? We ain't talking light drizzle. 40 days and 40 nights of hard rain. But God had already prepared Noah to endure the storm. And I come to tell you this morning that God has already prepared you to endure the storms that come into your life. You simply have to have a survival of the faith-filled attitude and mentality that whatever storm comes into your life, you are going to survive it. Amen. Look at somebody and just encourage them and say, you can survive your storm. You can make it through. We have to endure the storms of our lives just like Noah and his family had to endure their storm. God will show you how to navigate the storms that come into your life just like he did with Noah. I'm sure that they were happy, Noah and his family, as they saw people perishing from the storms. I'm sure that they were happy that they had obeyed God and built the ark and we're safe. But let's be honest. This wasn't no 40-day, 40-night cruise. Let's put it this way. I want you to get all your family, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and picture yourself on a boat with them for 40 days. Enough said, right? Enough said. With animals. Stanky animals. Now, you know, come on. Now, let's be honest. They probably had windows
But you know, that ain't going to get all of it out. There's a whole lot that you have to endure sometimes while you're going through a storm. There's a whole lot that you have to endure while you're going through a storm. But here's the thing that you have to remember, even with Noah and his family, 40 days and 40 nights, storms do not last forever. You might be right in the middle of it right now, and you can't see just a little beam of the sun. You are in it. It is raining hard, but I just want to let you know that storms do not last forever. The storm that you are weathering right now will come to an end. And as people of God, we have to, and this is really what we do here at the Presence, we have to build an ark, a place of safety in God's presence to help us survive life's storms. We have to be survival of the faith filled. We come on Sundays, we come on Wednesdays, and incidentally, we had just a wonderful time of prayer this past Wednesday. Powerful. Pray that you join us this coming Wednesday for our time of worship and Bible study. But we come in order to build our faith, to get charged up, to remind ourselves of the goodness of God, to remember that even though we're going through a rough patch, or even though we're in a stormy situation, God is still with us. Even though we feel like we're in the fire, God is still with us. Even though we may be going through an intense situation, God is still with us. Look at somebody and say, God is still with you. Sometimes you just have to go into what I call, you have to go into survival mode. What does that mean? Well, just sort of looking at what God told Noah to do. Survival mode is that season when you really have to listen intently to what God is instructing you to do. When you're going through a storm, or when you sense that a storm is coming, or when you're in the midst of it, you really have to listen intently to what God is telling you to do and what He's not telling you to do. God told Noah specifically how to build that ark. Measurements, rooms, floors. God will give you specifics as to what to do, what not to do. Where to move, where not to move. What job to take, what job not to take. He'll give you specifics. And you have to listen. So survival mode is that season when you really have to listen intently to what God is instructing you to do. You also have to build only that which He tells you to build. Don't try to build nothing that He hasn't told you to build. If God told Noah to build an ark, guess what he better build? An ark. He better not be up there trying to build a hotel. Only build what God has told you to build. Pull your family in close. One of the things that God did with the ark, he told Noah, bring your family. Bring your family close. During times of difficulty and struggle, you need to bring especially those who are in your spiritual family. Bring them close. You need people of God in your life that will pray for you, that will support you, that will lift you up in prayer, that will encourage you. That's going to help you to survive. See, the enemy wants to separate you. He wants to isolate you. He wants you to get you by yourself so that you don't have nobody to talk to. So now you're just listening to your own thoughts and some of his. Right. But the Bible says through in Proverbs, through many counselors, victory is assured. You need people that can counsel you. You need people that can speak into your life. You need people that can encourage you. Don't allow the enemy to isolate you. So listen intently to the voice of God, the instruction of God. Build only that which he tells you to do. Don't take on any projects that he hasn't told you to take on. Pull your family close. That's your relatives, but also your spiritual family, even just as much. God has placed in your life people who are sort of spiritual markers for you, who help to guide you, who help to give instruction to you. Don't reject those people in your life. Stay close. And then stay close as possible to God's presence. That's the ark. God told Noah to build an ark to preserve their life, to preserve. God is saying to you, make sure you build a place where you can come into my presence. Make sure you have a place where you can go to be safe in my presence. Trusting God until the storm passes, because the storm is going to pass. But you have to position yourself and place yourself to where you can hear from God, where you can be refreshed, where you can be renewed, where you can remember the goodness of God as you hear the rain falling outside. As you hear all that, as we hear all that's happening in the world, all that's going on in our world, the storms. More storms are coming. You better find that ark of safety. You better find that place where you can get close to God. You know, Noah and his family, when they were in the ark, they couldn't move around, obviously, like they normally could when they were on the earth. The point I'm making is that sometimes you just need to, scale everything down. You need to cut some things out and quiet yourself before the Lord and find that sweet spot where you can just sit at his feet and listen to his words. You know, sometimes, and we're going to do this in November, we have our, in November we have our 21-day fast. We call it a pause, a 121 pause. We're going to start on November 1st and end on November 21st. We take those moments to intensify our prayer, to kind of stop doing certain things that we usually do. We don't watch as much TV. We don't, you know, we do more spiritual things during that time. There come seasons in your life where you just have to scale everything back and really focus on the Lord. That's your ark. You need to find your ark. Find that sweet spot and just kind of intensify your times of prayer, your times of worship. That's what's going to help you to survive and to keep your faith. All right, let's double back to our, I'm almost finished. Let's double back to our key scripture, Luke 21, 31 and 32. Everybody shout, survival of the faith filled. So that verse in Luke, the 22nd chapter, says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. See, here's the one of the reasons Jesus said this to Simon, because this is just before Jesus knew that Peter was going to struggle in his faith and even deny that he knew Christ. So that was the reason for the latter part of that verse, when you have turned again. Let me read it in the Living Bible. It says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to have you, to sift you like wheat, but I have pleaded in prayer for you that your faith should not completely fail. So when you have repented and turned to me again, because when he denied Christ, you follow what I'm saying? So that was the reason for Jesus' concern with Peter, because he knew that Peter was going to have that struggle. And listen, He knows you're going to have struggles. He knows we're going to have struggles. So he said, when you have repented and turned to me again, strengthen and build up the faith of your brothers. He's concerned about your faith. You're gonna miss it. You're gonna miss the mark sometimes. But Jesus is saying, listen, when you repent, when you turn back, because that's the key so that you don't lose your faith. When you repent, when you turn back, then what I want you to do is I want you to go to your brothers and your sisters and encourage them because they're going through the same thing you went through. We will experience seasons in our life when our faith will be tested like never before. You will have seasons in your life when your very salvation will be tested. You will experience seasons when your faith will be tested like never before, and your actions and reactions to what is happening around you could look like to someone like you're denying Christ, just like Peter did. Your actions and reactions could look to other people like you've lost your faith. But the Holy Spirit, just like Jesus said he was praying for Peter, the Holy Spirit is the second comforter. The Holy Spirit is interceding for you, even now, that your faith doesn't give in to the pressure. Don't give in to the pressure. Now, I've got some not so good news and some great news. Here's the not so good news. There's no guarantee that the pressure is going to ever end. Many are the afflictions. If you look over your life, I can look over mine. There's really never been a time in my life where I could say, gosh, I don't have anything to pray about. I don't have anything to seek God. I don't have anything, you know, that's really on my heart that I want God to do. Never, right? There's always something. It's always a situation, a knucklehead. There's always something that's going to keep you seeking God, keep you on your knees, keep you crawling into that ark to say, Lord, I'm back. Help me. I'll close with this. James 4 and 1, verses 2 through 4. James 1, 2 through 4 says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing or trying of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Count it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. I said this early. That's when you, every time you a new affliction comes up, you can count it all joy, because you know many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord does what? Delivers you out of them all. So count it all joy, because here's the key. When you have a trial, that's an opportunity to grow and mature in God. That's an opportunity to get stronger in the Lord. The Bible says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Well, the only way that you can get stronger, if I could use an exercising analogy, the only way to get strong is to lift or push heavier weight. So there has to be resistance in order for you to get stronger. The resistance that comes in your life is good for you.
because it's going to teach you and help to mature your faith. So count it all joy because it's producing endurance. It's building your faith. That's really what that is. Let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect. Your faith will be tried and tested. Faith untested is really not faith at all. My sister, Pastor Sanola's sister Rhonda, they have this, their family has a family chat, and I overheard or saw her saying this, encouraging the family, and she Rhonda Johnson, she said it like this. She said, sometimes you have to faith it until you make it. Not fake it, but faith it until you make it. Look at somebody and say, faith it until you make it. Faith it. That is survival of the faith filled. Listen, you may be right in the middle of it right now, but I'm going to encourage you. To faith it until you make it. And to be a faith-filled survivor. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word today. I'm sure if we went around the room and had people share what they're going through, we would probably be amazed at what some are going through right now. But God, there is nothing too difficult for you. There is nothing outside of the range of your ability. You are great. You do miracles so great. And there is none like you. So God, I ask that you strengthen everyone under the sound of my voice, that they would know that you are praying that their faith would not fail. Help us, Lord. Those, whether it's a financial situation, a job situation, a family situation, that represents a storm, the storm will pass. In the meantime, help us to survive in the midst of the storm. The heat has been turned up, but you're with us. You have not left us. You're with us. And we acknowledge that today, that you are in control. Help us to trust you as much as we love you. Help us to lean not into our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge you, and you will direct our paths. And we have made up our mind to trust you more than anything, to find that place in you, that ark of safety of your presence, and ride out the storm with you. God, thank you that with the disciples, you were in the boat with them while the storm was raging. Thank you, Lord, that you were in the boat with us. And there will come a moment where you will speak peace over the entire situation, and the storm will cease. We trust you this morning. I pray for those that are watching, that are going through storms right now, that you would strengthen them. I pray, Lord, that they would not lose their faith, but that they would be faith-filled survivors. In Jesus' name, thank you for this word. We love you today. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Come on, give God a praise right there. Just give God a praise. Thank you for the word. Hallelujah. Thank you for the word. Thank you for the word. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, let's give to the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. Have the opportunity to give. And whether you're giving physically or you're doing it something online, we have various ways to give. We're a blessed church, and we have a good name in the city. We pay all of our bills on time. We're good stewards, and we give to many missions and ministries, both home and foreign. And I don't know if many of you know that we have been giving to a ministry called Mercy Chefs for many years. And Mercy Chefs goes to disaster areas, and they cook meals. They take out these huge trucks. We've been in them. Pastor Snow and myself, we've seen them. And they go there and cook meals and feed people who are in distress. And they are right now in all of the areas where there are have been hurricanes. They are there right now. I get the emails almost weekly. And so we're helping to make that happen because we give to the Mercy Chefs monthly. There's another ministry called 8 Days of Hope where they go in and they rebuild homes and businesses for people. They are there right now. We are helping to rebuild homes of and businesses of people who have had disasters. So thank God that we're able to do that. So your sowing is going into good ground, and it enables us to really be a blessing to many, especially those who are in distress. So as you give today, know that your seed is going into good ground. Lift that up, whatever you have. Lord, thank you that here at the presence, we are bountiful, cheerful givers. The seed that leaves our hand never leaves our life, but it goes into our future, and it multiplies. Thank you, Lord, that we're blessed to be a blessing. Come on, say, I'm blessed to be a blessing. Say it again, I'm blessed to be a blessing. And so, God, we give with cheerful hearts, knowing that we will see it again in greater measure. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. You can turn that down just a little bit. So our men, we have our men's breakfast, Circle 23 men's breakfast, Saturday, October 12th, this coming Saturday at 9 a.m. right here in the fellowship hall. We have breakfast and fellowship, and we have a great time. And that's the second Saturday. The third Saturday are the L3 women's breakfast, and that's the 19th at 9 a.m. Every fourth Saturday, we have what? Prayer push. So mark your calendars for October the 26th at 8 a.m. The end of this month, we're doing a trunk or treat community outreach, and where we ask people to decorate the trunks of their cars and put some treats in there, and the kids around the community will come to our church. We'll have hot dogs and all of that, and if you want to sign up for that, you can do that in the fellowship hall. We just ask that there be no ghosts and goblins, just harvest theme decorations. And G6 Church, which has service here they start at 5 or so, but their main service starts at 6:15. They've asked to be a part of that trunk or treat, so they're going to join us for that. So it's a great way to reach out to the community and to share our faith. Want to remind those who are going to Branson that the final payment is due on October the 16th. Just want to mention that to you. And, you know, we're going on a cruise in 2025, in October of 2025, and we're looking to November of this year to kind of have a cruise kickoff, a cruise reservation kickoff. So just kind of put that in the back of your minds that once we hit November, we're going to kind of be looking towards securing our cabins. I'm so excited for this cruise. We have service on the boat. We eat together. It's just an absolute wonderful, wonderful time. So I hope you will sort of put that on your calendar. And how many of you have never been on a cruise before? Never. Oh. Oh, gosh. I'm going to pray for you all. It's so cool. All right. I pray that you all will try to go, and it's going to be great. All right. This Wednesday, I mentioned this Wednesday we have our Wednesday family night, and we're going to be saying some things specifically in the next couple of weeks about our youth, our energy youth. Many of our youth are involved in sports right now, and so it's just really, it's just the season that we're in, and they have to go to practices and practices and practices and games and practices, and it used to be that they didn't do things on the weekends, but they do it all the time now. They do. But anyway, we're not going to be detoured in our desire to have a thriving youth ministry, and so we're going to be having some meetings with a few couples here in our church, but also with G6, their youth, to kind of bring these two ministries together, let them fellowship together. So we'll be talking about that soon too. All right. Well, and that's all I have to say about that. Everybody doing good? All right. Paul, I heard you this morning. I heard you. I know it's tight, but it's right. We love you, man. Well, we're ready to go. We look forward to seeing you this coming Wednesday. And listen, I want you to just really take that word in and apply it to your life and ask the Lord, things that you might need to do to not leak faith in your life. Amen? Stand on your feet. Hallelujah. Make sure you greet one more time when we leave our visitors, first-time visitors. Thank you so much for being here today. Hope you come back. Lift those hands toward heaven. I give you the blessing found in Deuteronomy 1:11. May the Lord, the God of your fathers, increase you 1,000-fold more than you are and bless you just as he has promised you. God bless you. We look forward to seeing you real soon here at the Presence.